to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. The long road of national mourning for President Gerald R. Ford will end tomorrow at his burial. 21 gun salutes in Washington as Ford's casket left Andrews Air Force Base and another as it arrived home.
This is Steve Futterman in Grand Rapids. Ceremonial cannon fire greeted Mr. Ford as his body arrived here this afternoon. The final salute is taking place fittingly in his boyhood hometown. From the airport, a motorcade brought him to the Gerald Ford Museum. At the museum, Mr. Ford will lie in repose. The doors to the museum will remain open throughout the night. Then tomorrow, just outside the museum, Mr. Ford will be laid to rest.
Earlier today, the funeral at the National Cathedral.
For the 120 million Americans who were not even born when Gerald Ford was president, the funeral was a history lesson. The eulogies were delivered by friends and admirers, and that was reflected in their recollections of the man who became president after Richard Nixon resigned.
Amid all the turmoil, Gerald Ford was a rock of stability.
President Bush called the 38th president one of America's most beloved leaders. Though Gerald Ford left office, having been rejected by the American people in the 1976 election. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Is your city ready for a major emergency? Chances are, says CBS's John Harchie, the answer is no.
Only 6 of 75 U.S. cities rated, San Diego, Minneapolis-St. Paul, Washington, Columbus, Ohio, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Laramie, Wyoming, get top scores for their emergency agency's communications ability during a disaster. This according to a draft report the Associated Press obtained in advance of the release of the full study by Homeland Security. How well local emergency agencies like fire and police can talk with each other remains a problem in many cities more than 5 years after 9/11.
Denver Broncos coach Mike Shanahan spoke today about his cornerback who was killed on New Year's morning in a drive-by shooting.
You never know why God takes somebody, but I know one thing. He got somebody very special in there.
The coroner says it was a bullet in the neck that killed Darrent Williams. People are saying Austria's Manfred Michlitz is like Forrest Gump because he plans to run around the world, a 14,000-mile circuit through Europe, across China and Australia, and then the U.S. before finishing back in Vienna next New Year's Eve. It's one whole year of running. But Forrest Gump ran continuously back and forth across America for 3 years, 2 months, 14 days, and 16 hours in the movie. Michlitz is running to raise money for orphans and abused children, so he gets the real prize and the real praise. This is CBS News.
Each and every one of us can be infected with influenza, a serious and often deadly infection. In fact, one out of every five Americans will get influenza this season. I'm Dr. Julie Gerberding, Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'd like to encourage everyone who wants to be protected from the flu to get vaccinated this season. This is especially important for people at high risk for influenza-related complications.
A message brought to you by the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend, Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First, you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Teens who drink are dancing on the foul side of the law, of course, and half of them drink too much on purpose.
3 out of 4 12th graders in America say they've tried alcohol. Nearly half of all kids in high school admit to recently drinking it illegally, and most of that binge drinking. That's 5 or more drinks in a row. a concerted effort to get drunk, very drunk. Study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finding that these binge-drinking kids are more likely to have sex, get into fights, smoke cigarettes, or use drugs. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The straw goat of Gävle, Sweden, survived this year. It is a rare victory over vandals who for decades have made it a contest to get past the security and destroy the Christmas goat, typically by torching it. The giant goat goes up just before Christmas, and it's four stories tall. It was dismantled yesterday as opposed to extinguished. That's only the 12th time in 40 years it's made it to New Year's. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-540-1633. Call 1-800-540-1633 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-540-1633.
Working through our checklist here, make sure we turned on all the buttons that are supposed to be in the on position. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this is our first live broadcast of 2007. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. This program is live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originates on the left coast. Our producer is Matt Renner, and we're in the house here and ready to go live. As always, our phone lines are open and available for your comments all along during the program and especially in our final hour in the free speech zone. That toll-free number is 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's nice to be back in the saddle, and I have to say that I enjoyed a nice break over the holidays, unplugged. And I thank you if you listen during the holiday break and offer a quick apology, too. We had a lot of technical problems that were originally derived from that massive snowstorm in Denver, because Denver is the site of the satellite uplink where the Peter B. Collins Show is beamed out to a hungry nation. And unfortunately, FedEx didn't get the CDs there in time, and it created a lot of confusion. And if you were on the listening end of it, what you heard was glitches in the switches. So we're back live and under control, and I want to thank all of our listeners and all of our affiliates for putting up with that falderall during the holidays. We got a great show lined up for you today. During the first segment here, I'm going to kind of recap the events since we left the air before Christmas. And in our next segment, Medea Benjamin will join us. She kicked off the new year by getting arrested on the Golden Gate Bridge here in San Francisco, as she and others from Code Pink for Peace were attempting to conduct a vigil, marking the sad occasion of the 3,000th American killed in the line of duty in Iraq. Medea will join us in the next segment. Jason Leopold on the air today with us, coming up on the half hour. We're going to get his take on the trial that is due to, it's a court-martial, due to start later this week, of Lieutenant Aaron Watata. And that has drawn some journalists, including people who write for Truth Out, into the crosshairs of the government's prosecution. We'll talk about that and their rights. And we'll also give you a warm-up for the Scooter Libby trial, which is going to be starting up later this month in Washington, D.C. And in our second hour today, we're going to recap 2006, first with a little bit of a comedic twist. My pal and funny man, Doug Ferrari, will be with us for the first half hour. And then Ilana Levin from the Drum Major Institute will join us to recap the impact of some of the gains made. Six or seven different states have minimum wage increases that take effect today. That's good news for working people. And the Congress is poised to take up a minimum wage bill as well. And that's all ahead, plus your phone calls in the free speech zone in our third and final hour. Well, a lot occurred over the holidays, and I have to say on a couple of occasions I was tempted to come in here to my secret studio, call up the satellite people and say, let's not do a replay today. I'm itching to go live. But I resisted that urge. And so there are a few things that I want to catch up on. Now, on this program, over the last few years, I have used a recording of Dubious Taste to define how production values and the Fox News Channel syndrome can take information that's false and make it seem true. And, ladies and gentlemen, I am sad to report that what I'm about to play for you has become true as of Christmas Day, 2006. The hardest working man in show business is not working anymore. This is from Live at the Apollo, about James, I'm going to miss you. I really love James Brown. He was a difficult individual who had a very challenged life, drug abuse, and tough on women, a lot of political incorrectness over the years. But musically, there was nobody like him. And I got the privilege of seeing him perform 8 or 10 times over the years. One time I was right there in the front row. And he was the hardest working man in show business, and he really set a standard and really broke through in musical styles in many ways. And as a teenager growing up in Cincinnati, the home of his record label, I actually went over to King Records one time, saw the studio, this little bitty room with 4-track recorders that he used to record so much of his music, and watched them in the back of the record plant there, pressing up vinyl copies of Live at the Apollo. And so it was really touching for me because on Christmas morning, we were working in the kitchen and had some Christmas music on, just kind of on shuffle on the CD player. And a James Brown Christmas tune came on, where he stopped the music for a minute to thank those of us listening for buying his records and coming to his shows. And that's the way I'll remember the passing of James Brown. We also lost a former American president, the longest living ex-president, Gerald Ford of Michigan. The memorial service is today, and he will be interred in Ann Arbor in the next day or so. I have mixed comments on Gerald Ford, and I'm going to save him for a couple of days because I believe that people deserve to be buried without a lot of crosstalk and hoo-ha. And in a couple of days, when people have gotten past the rosy nostalgia and the rewrites of history, I'll offer you my honest assessment of Gerald Ford. And in simple terms, I got over the pardon. I never agreed with it, but I accepted it. What I couldn't accept was Gerald Ford's leadership as the House Minority Leader of the charge to impeach Earl Warren, the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And those are the things we'll talk about over the next few days. And Saddam Hussein was hung in Baghdad on Friday night, U.S. time, Saturday morning local time. And usually I don't criticize my fellow talk show hosts on many of these same stations. But I was appalled earlier today when I had my radio on and I was listening to Ed Schultz interacting with a caller who was raising very obvious and honest questions about the manner in which the death sentence was arrived at. It was a show trial. The verdict was a foregone conclusion. He was not permitted to bring in witnesses or evidence that might have drawn the United States and certain leaders like Ronald Reagan and Donald Rumsfeld into focus. And also, there are many people in Iraq who felt that it was premature to execute him when there were additional trials still to be conducted. And I'm shamed and ashamed that no significant American political leader, Democrat or Republican, has stood up and said, you know, we did not advance our interests by executing this guy in this manner. Now, I'm one of those people who is deeply and fundamentally and unalterably opposed to capital punishment in any form. That's my moral position. My political pragmatic position is that if anybody deserves execution, it might have been Saddam Hussein. I have no sympathy for him, and I make no excuses or rationalizations for him. But that said, Tony Blair of Britain struck the right note, which is that perhaps he deserved to be executed, but we don't believe anyone should be executed because it's barbaric and subhuman, and it brings us down to the level of the person whose life the state has taken. So those are some of my thoughts catching up here. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Medea Benjamin, and we will talk about the sad moment in America's invasion and occupation of Iraq. 3,000 American service members have now been killed in Bush's War of Folly. And if you'd like to join us, you're welcome to call and comment. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. It's 888-573-8372. You can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift. Now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
Then they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants. But we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The days of wine and
the fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
New Year's Day marked a grisly milestone for the United States of America and its ongoing occupation of the 51st state of Iraq. Now 3,000 American men and women in uniform have lost their lives on this misguided adventure, the elective war of George W. Bush in Iraq. And in advance of this, many activists sent emails around organizing some vigils to take place on the day after that grisly landmark was reached. And so yesterday, Medea Benjamin and about 9 or 10 other members of Code Pink for Peace attempted to conduct such a vigil by marching across the Golden Gate Bridge. Medea Benjamin joins us now. Happy New Year, Medea.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Peter.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thank you for representing us. I know that you were detained by the officials and took another arrest on your your extensive rap sheet.
Well, this was yet another unplanned arrest, Peter. You know, I didn't expect that this would was how the first day of the year would start out. I thought we were going to do a nice, solemn, peaceful procession over the Golden Gate Bridge. And instead, we were stopped by the San Francisco police, the state troopers, the Golden Gate Bridge police. Squad cars all out there for a bunch of women dressed in pink. Once again, somehow we threaten the powers that be.
And did they give you any indication why they wouldn't permit you to go as planned across the bridge? You weren't such a large group that you required a permit, were you?
Well, they told us we didn't have a permit, and we said we didn't need a permit. We also said that we didn't know when the 3,000th person would have died, so how could we request a permit? We were told all kinds of things, but mainly that we didn't have a permit, and that it would be too disruptive for the bridge. I don't know. They started also telling us that it was private property, which really blew our minds, because to think of the Golden Gate Bridge as private property, and we went back and did our homework, as did the press, and indeed it is not private property. It's run by a private company, but it's public property.
Well, I don't even think that's quite correct. It is run by a district that is separate from other entities of state and local government, but it is a public piece of property, is it not?
Yeah, I think they had private security police who were security for the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But we were definitely told by the Park Service, and we talked to some of the commissioners today who are on the Bridge Commission, the Transportation Commission, and they say it's definitely public property.
Yeah, yeah. No, your right to assemble, to me, is very clear there. Now, there was a little bit of a scuffle that broke out, and a Channel 7 cameraman was injured.
I hate to laugh at it, but it was wild. I mean, you had these very peaceful women dressed in pink, and suddenly there was this, like, male energy flying out there of this big, brutish police officer. No, he wasn't a police. He was one of the Golden Gate security.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoved this cameraman, punched him, shoved his camera, hit him in the nose, broke his camera. It was a pretty violent scuffle that happened, and the Channel 7 guy got hurt.
Wow. Anybody else injured?
No, nobody else was injured. There were a lot of tourists who were very upset, and I didn't realize how inconvenienced people were until after the whole thing. We had no idea that they had shut down one lane of traffic and the bridge was all backed up. We certainly were encouraging them to let the tourists go in. There was no reason that tourists should be kept out of off of the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, at one point, when they first closed down the pedestrian walkway, there was a woman with two of her children sobbing who had, you know, left their rest of their family on the other side of the bridge.
Yeah.
And they weren't going to let them through. I mean, we had to plead with them to let her through. And then the tourists that came, you know, people started blaming us, too, which is terrible. It certainly was not our intention and was not our fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you have any additional demonstration plans? In other words, were you going to unfurl a banner? Was Woody Harrelson going to climb on the bridge? Did they react, assuming that you had more than just walking across the bridge and observing a vigil?
Well, they said at other times people had done things like that. And we said to them, well, why don't you check all of our bags, make sure we don't have banners. Why don't you, at that time, the point, there were more of them than us. We said, you know, why don't you walk one by one with us? One of you, one of us. And, you know, we proposed lots of different ways to make sure that indeed we were just walking across. And in fact, on the, what I call the Nancy Pelosi side of the bridge,
yes,
we could not walk through, was different from the Lynn Woolsey side of the bridge, because on the Marin side, the Code Pink people did get through, and they walked quietly, peacefully across the bridge to our side.
Wow.
So it was totally uncalled for. It's one of those things where the security and the police are their own worst enemies. In fact, what we heard afterwards, that it was the Department of Homeland Security who decided to close down the bridge.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now that does not surprise me.
No. And now we're charged with trespassing, and we are demanding they drop these charges, they issue an apology, and they publicly state that this is indeed public property.
Well, those are all reasonable demands, and I hope they will yield to them, Medea.
Well, let's see. But in any case, I think for the new year we have to stand our ground, whether it's demanding our right to be able to walk on our own bridge or demanding that the elected representatives listen to us and bring our troops home. We've obviously got a lot to do, Peter.
Well, we need to buy a huge surge protector and send it to the Democrats. Thank you, Medea.
Thank you.
And
thank you
for speaking up for all of us.
Thank you. Bye.
Medea Benjamin, co-founder of Code Pink for Peace. Coming up next, Jason Leopold joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's from truthout.org. And we're going to talk about the courts martial that is drawing in some reporters from Truthout and other outlets. We'll also talk about the warm-up for the Scooter Libby trial. That's next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM every Sunday at 2.
Of 2007, it's the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Left Coast. In a moment, Jason Leopold joins us. We'll talk about the challenge to the press posed by the Wataha courts martial, and about Scooter Libby, too. But first, another slice from The Godfather. Now, these are actually two different renditions of I Feel Good. The first one was 28 seconds long and is from Live at the Apollo. And this one was a remake that was custom recorded for the San Francisco Giants. They used it as their theme music in the early 1980s, if I remember right. And Jason Leopold joins us now. Are you still a little sad about James Brown passing?
I think it's a huge loss. And when you said Live at the Apollo, one of the greatest records of all time.
Oh, indeed.
Definitely on top 10 list. It's a groundbreaking album.
Yeah, I have vinyl, and I picked up the CD a couple of years back. And
yeah, they have the remastered, expanded version with some extra tracks. But it's, you know, when you listen to it, realizing that that's about 40 years old is pretty amazing.
It really is. And yeah. It's worth retelling, Jason. I shared this a little while ago, but as a teenager in Cincinnati, which was the home of King Records, the longtime label of James Brown, I actually went there on a Saturday. There was just one person working in the back pressing vinyl on a device that kind of looked like something you'd find in a tire shop. And I peeked in at the little studio. It was a tiny booth with a four-track Ampex recorder where James had recorded Cold Sweat and some of the earlier hits that he had in the 1960s. And when I went back out, this woman handed me a flawed vinyl disc that she had just pressed and rejected, and it was Live at the Apollo.
Oh, do you still have it?
I don't have that original, no.
That would make a good, that would be worth something.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so, Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, and same to you. Did you have a nice break?
I did. It was nice to, you know, stand back and just take a breather. But there's still so much to be done. And, you know, just with the news this past weekend, you know, welcome in 2007 with news of the 3,000th death in Iraq, and clearly no plan going forward, at least as far as President Bush is concerned. It's sad. It's sad. It's a, you know, you realize that there's a lot of work to be done this year.
Well, and just on that score, the front page of the New York Times has an excellent lengthy piece today, which describes how chaos upended the plans of the Bush administration for 2006. Now, that's an interesting statement to make at the end of the year, when all through the year, up until the Baker-Hamilton Commission report came out, every Republican was in a chorus saying that we're going to stay the course, that we're achieving our objectives, that, you know, Bush's claims that victory was is within our reach. You know, all that stuff goes by the wayside as the truth finally surfaces, yet we don't see, you know, very clear judgments made about, well, this is the truth, and what we heard all last year probably wasn't.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's you know, there's just a couple of days away, a couple of days before the you know, new Democratic Congress comes in, and I think that we're just going to start hearing. It's not going to be a smooth ride. Certainly, in the first 100 hours or 100 days, there's going to be a lot of partisan back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Much partisanship. With regard to the war and what people said, or what lawmakers have said last year, what's going to happen now, it seems very clear that the president has no intention of listening to any advice, even by his closest advisors. In fact, you know, speaking of the New York Times, there's a pretty, I believe it's a different report, but he's looking to oust General Casey simply because he supports withdrawing troops.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be very interesting.
Well, and it seems that Casey has been squeezed to say, oh, you want to send more troops? I'll take them.
Right.
But
well, that exactly. And that, you know, you, even reading the story that came out with, you know, with him saying that, you could get the sense that he was, you know, forced to say that. He certainly wasn't making any, his comments did not seem genuine.
Yep. Well, pick a month from 2006, Jason, and I'll explain why.
Pick a month?
Yeah, any month.
Oh, okay. How about June?
Okay. This is a timeline that the Times published today with a series of the rosy quotes from Bush. June 12th. Ultimately, the Iraqi people are going to have to make up their mind. Do they want to live in terror, or do they want to live in peace? And the United States and our coalition will help them realize their ambitions if they choose to live in peace and hope, which we believe they will.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
It really is.
You know, it's amazing. It feels, to think that you know, we've been suffering with this administration for, you know, the past 6.5 years, if not longer, it's just unbelievable.
Now, Jason Leopold, later this week, we expect a court-martial to get underway in Washington State, where
yeah.
Lieutenant Aaron Watata is being tried for refusing orders, refusing movement. He was ordered back to Iraq, and he said no.
Right.
And Truth Out, your organization, is unfortunately drawn into this in a number of ways.
Yeah.
Sarah Olson, a reporter, Sari Gelzer and Mark Ash at the editorial staff, and also freelancer Dar Jamail. All either have been or expect to be subpoenaed to offer testimony in this court-martial.
That's correct, and that is for February when the trial gets underway. I should make it clear that none of the reporters, other than Sarah Olson and a Honolulu Star Bulletin reporter, have actually been served with subpoenas. But it's been, you know, abundantly clear that. Captain Dan Cooker, the Army prosecutor, has every intent to follow through with handing subpoenas to various individuals at our organization.
Now, you mentioned February, and perhaps I misread something, but I was under the impression that some of the preliminary events start as early as this Thursday.
Yes, the pretrial hearing starts Thursday.
Okay.
The pretrial hearing will be where Cooker, the Army prosecutor, pretrial hearing where they present the evidence and lay out the case that they've made against Lieutenant Watata and witnesses and who will be testifying. So that is where we'll get sort of an overview of what to expect come February, which would be, I believe it's early February, when mm-hmm. the actual court-martial proceeding takes place in terms of it's not an actual jury, but more, you know, his other soldiers that sit on the panel. So Thursday is, I believe Thursday and maybe even Friday as well, that this will get underway. And then the actual trial itself, the actual court-martial trial next month.
Okay. So has there been any evolution in the position of Truth Out and its attorneys in terms of responding to the subpoenas that have been issued and those that might be expected?
Well, you know, our attorney Bill Simpich has indicated that if the Army continues to, if specifically Dan Cooker, if he continues to, try and subpoena or Sari Gelzer or compel her testimony or Mark's testimony, he will absolutely fight it. I mean, there's been no statement, a definitive statement from either Mark or Sari or even Bill that they would not testify. But they will absolutely, Bill will absolutely object to this, file a motion to quash if it comes down to that. But something very interesting, I actually did not include this in the report because I just found out about it today, but in order for the Army to subpoena journalists specifically, the prosecutor has to get a clearance, has to get approval, rather, from the Attorney General.
Oh, really?
And I'm talking about Alberto Gonzalez.
Right. And he's a real friend to the people who fight for
yeah.
freedom of the press.
Yeah,
it's
something I did not realize, but there's in terms of the military law and how it works, there's a fantastic article in armytimes.com online. You can, listeners can check that out. In which, in order to do this, you have to get the Attorney General to approve.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a
but given and I don't want to just be snide and flip here, but Gonzalez has supported the breach in reporter protections that Patrick Fitzgerald has been responsible for,
right?
From Miller to Cooper and on down the line.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine that he would put any obstacles in the way of the court martial.
I can't imagine that would happen either. And you know, another thing that's very interesting is that as I suspected, this does set a dangerous precedent in that it, basically when Patrick Fitzgerald, for example, when he subpoenaed Judith Miller and Matt Cooper, of course, we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but, you know, for a prosecutor to do that, they have to exhaust every resource in terms of obtaining the information. With this case, however, it just appears to be laziness on the part of the Army prosecutor. And they have a, in this Army Times story, they have an expert saying exactly that, that there's no reason to really subpoena the journalist when Watada is not saying that he did not make those statements. So they could certainly...
Let me be clear here. Watada isn't claiming he didn't make the statements, is he?
Not at all.
Right. So that's
really
not at issue. Therefore, this corroboration that they're demanding journalists provide is really gratuitous, because most of these remarks by Lieutenant Watada were made in public settings.
That's correct, and it's a real waste of taxpayer money, because you're flying these people out, you're putting them up. Of course, it's not a lot of money, but it sets a precedent that really does not need to be there, and you need to have that separation between government and and the press. And what's very interesting about this subpoena is that because it's a subpoena from the military, it actually says the President of the United States requests or compels you basically to appear before this court. So you really are getting subpoenaed by the government. This is really outrageous.
And, it's not a tortured interpretation to believe that this is an intimidation tactic, not a legal effort to win a conviction against Lieutenant Watada.
Correct. And, I think that, for Lieutenant Watada, he clearly is, he even said publicly he does not understand why they would be, trying to subpoena journalists. He, absolutely made those statements. I think it's very sad, the situation that he's going to find himself in, because very likely he will be court-martialed and spend at least half a decade in prison.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you should add there, Jason? We're ready to go to a break here.
I think that what Watada has been saying in terms of the reasons that he chose not to go to war will hopefully soon get some answers as to whether his predictions were correct, because that's when Democrats will start. Democrats this Thursday said they're going to immediately tackle pre-war intelligence.
Who said that?
Whether the Democrats, right. The Democratic leadership, they're going to start their investigations right away.
Mm-hmm.
And, Watada said that he did not, he chose not to go to Iraq simply because he did not believe in the veracity of the intelligence that, led us to war.
Well, and the polls that have come out of Iraq just in the last week show that most of the troops feel that way now.
Yeah, and in fact, one more thing I want to add is that it seems that he has been out there by himself, but there is a website called appealforredress.org. I'm not sure if you've heard of that.
No.
But it's actually, this is fantastic. It's appealforredress.org is where soldiers who are on active duty, many of whom are serving in Iraq, sign a petition or a statement demanding that troops be withdrawn immediately. In fact, they're going to take the signatures to Congress on Martin Luther King Day. This is the first time since the Vietnam War where there is actually an active group of military officers who oppose this.
Yeah, very good. Jason, we'll take a break and return. Most of the bowl games were yesterday, but the Rove Bowl is coming up. Scooter Libby's trial. We'll talk about that next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
These United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our first day back live here in the new year. Wherever you are, I'm glad you're listening. You can call in and talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. We continue with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And Billy Sunshine wanted to add a comment about refuseniks and others who have declined to return to the war in Iraq. Hey, Billy.
Hey, buddy. Happy New Year to you and everybody.
Thank you. Same to you.
You bet. So a friend of the show, yours and mine, Peter Laufer,
mm-hmm.
he wrote a book called Mission Rejected.
You're right.
U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. And for your 540 audience in Monterey and Santa Cruz, he's going to be at the Capitola Bookstore this Thursday night at 7:30.
And we have made an arrangement, and I think Peter is going to be on with us tomorrow afternoon or Thursday at the latest. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but he will be on to talk about that and to invite people to come over to that event. So,
well, there you go.
Thanks for tipping us off.
You bet, buddy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And, Jason, now I wanted to move on to the Fitzgerald prosecution of Scooter Libby.
Yeah,
and
up a couple of weeks.
Yeah, tell us what is the status of those proceedings, and is there a schedule that's been published?
Well, it's the date that we have right now is January 16th when, you know, we'll actually start
start to see some action. You know, we get to hear Fitzgerald's voice for the first time in, you know, more than a year at this point. There's 10 journalists who are, I don't know who they are because they haven't been named, but 10 journalists who are supposed to be testifying. Two or three that may be testifying on behalf of Libby, and others being subpoenaed too.
Will we get both Novaks, Bob and is her name? What is
Vivica.
Yeah.
Vivica Novak.
Mm-hmm.
That remains to be seen. I mean, I would imagine that Bob Novak would be a person testifying on behalf of Libby.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a very interesting trial because we're going to get some insight into exactly what unfolded, how the 16 words, if you will, may have wound up in the State of the Union address, who is behind that, what took place behind the scenes, what Libby said to the grand jury. You know, there are a lot of missing pieces here in terms of, how the intelligence itself was cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So while that's not what's on trial, it certainly will become very interesting for the public to, you know, really find that out.
Now, over the break, I recall reading a story that Joe Wilson, through his new attorneys, Melanie Sloan at Crewe,
right,
has filed documents asking not to be called to testify because he doesn't have anything to say.
Exactly. Well, yeah, they have. Libby's camp has already indicated they want Joe Wilson to testify. It's really unclear what they wanted to testify about. It does appear that it's more intimidation, harassment, and again, you know, where Libby's camp and Fitzgerald are miles apart on what this trial is all about. Fitzgerald has clearly stated that this trial is about making false statements to the FBI and just, you know, perjury, whereas Libby's attorneys continue to claim that Valerie Plame wasn't undercover, that everyone knew that she was in the CIA. And again, that's not what this trial is about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously one of the more interesting, exciting elements is the fact that Cheney will be testifying, and it will be very interesting to hear what he has to say.
Had an interesting call from a listener back before Christmas, Jason, saying, yeah, Cheney's been called to testify, and since he's a member of the executive branch, that's a conflict of interest. So he should either resign as vice president or decline to testify.
Huh. Well, I'm sure that he won't be resigning. I'm not quite, you know, it is interesting in terms of the law, because he would be the first, if I'm not mistaken, the first sitting vice president to testify in a criminal trial. But again, you know, what we're going to finally find out, and I should add that, you know, it's my understanding that the public will actually get some real insight into, you know, what took place with Karl Rove. And, you know, I certainly hope that what transpires, you know, at the trial itself will, you know, will certainly help my cause.
Mm-hmm.
But
now, Jason, do you know about the guy you like to frankify, Richard Armitage, or Dick Armitage, as they say in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be on the witness stand?
Yes. In fact, Libby's attorneys have indicated that they would have Armitage testifying on their behalf as well.
Okay.
But there are going to be a lot of officials, officials that are currently in the administration testifying, and what we're going to find out is, how these people in the office of the vice president came to discredit and attack Joe Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Who was told what? When? What does Tim Russert have to do with all this?
Right.
What does Andrea Mitchell from NBC News have to do? What was she told?
Right.
We'll hear from Judith Miller again. And what's
Jason, I got to stop here. We're out of time. We'll talk again next week. And thank you very much.
Take care.
Jason Leopold from truthout.org. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Tom Hartman. Tom DeLay had a blog, TomDeLay.com. After 75 minutes, he shut down his blog.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
But during the 75 minutes when his blog was wide open, here are the first responses. It's good that you're no longer a representative. The stench of the 109th Congress will take a long time to fix. The next one says, didn't we already stick a fork in your butt and decide you're done? These are the nice ones.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Gerald Ford is brought home to Grand Rapids after being eulogized in Washington.
We are here today to say goodbye to a great man.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The 38th President of the United States will be buried tomorrow in Grand Rapids. His body, accompanied by his wife Betty and their four children, was flown there today after a memorial service at the National Cathedral in Washington. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman begins our coverage.
Gerald Ford returned to his boyhood home for the last time today. The man who grew up in Grand Rapids came back to be laid to rest. As his body arrived one more time, they played Hail to the Chief. Tonight, the citizens of Grand Rapids are paying their respects, walking past Mr. Ford's flag-draped casket as he lies in repose in the lobby of the Gerald Ford Museum. On the wall just above the casket, a giant replica of the presidential seal. Tomorrow, the salutes come to an end. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Washington's farewell to Gerald Ford will be remembered as a tribute to the 38th president's modesty and humility. Two presidents named Bush also recalled his decisive role in the wake of Watergate.
He made the tough and decent decision to pardon President Nixon, even though that decision probably cost him the presidential election.
Few, if any, of our public leaders could have stepped into the breach and rekindled our national faith, as did President Gerald R. Ford.
The day of mourning saw a sad reunion of all of the nation's living former presidents in tribute to Gerald Ford. Peter Mayer, CBS News, at the Washington National Cathedral.
Now this.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot.
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
The Plain States are slowly recovering from their second paralyzing blizzard of the season. In some places, the snowdrifts are as high as rooftops. National Guard helicopters are dropping emergency food packets for snowbound people and bales of hay for cattle. Colorado Agriculture Commissioner Don Ament says the targeting has to be precise.
You go for miles and miles of snow, 3 foot, 4 feet deep, and cattle can't move in it, so you can't just drop this hay anywhere.
If the animals don't get food soon, they could die. In the event of an emergency, would your local government have effective communication? Not likely, says a federal report coming out tomorrow. CBS News correspondent John Harchi has an advanced look.
Only 6 of 75 U.S. cities rated, San Diego, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Washington, Columbus, Ohio, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Laramie, Wyoming, get top scores for their emergency agencies' communications ability during a disaster. This according to a draft report the Associated Press obtained in advance of the release of the full study by Homeland Security. How well local emergency agencies like fire and police can talk with each other remains a problem in many cities more than 5 years after 9/11.
The number of U.S. military deaths in Iraq rose to 3,004 today. And as bad as that is, the toll on Iraqis is far worse. Officials in Baghdad say nearly 14,000 civilians, police officers, and soldiers were killed in 2006. For parents, an eye-opening report on teenagers and their drinking habits. CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor has details of the new government survey.
3 out of 4 12th graders in America say they've tried alcohol. Nearly half of all kids in high school admit to recently drinking it illegally, and most of that binge drinking. That's 5 or more drinks in a row. A concerted effort to get drunk, very drunk. Study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention finding that these binge-drinking kids are more likely to have sex, get into fights, smoke cigarettes, or use drugs. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Each and every one of us can be infected with influenza, a serious and often deadly infection. In fact, 1 out of every 5 Americans will get influenza this season. I'm Dr. Julie Gerberding, Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'd like to encourage everyone who wants to be protected from the flu to get vaccinated this season. This is especially important for people at high risk for influenza-related complications.
A message brought to you by the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Smokey, and this is my new friend, Ernie.
Hi.
Ernie wants to be a biker.
Sure do.
Okay, just calm down, Ernie. First, you need a bike. Then you need Geico Motorcycle Insurance. They cover most kinds of bikes and have money-saving discounts. And finally, you'll need a nickname. Something that suits you, like, I don't know, Fuzzy Bunny.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Too late. It's already stuck, Fuzzy.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Survived the holidays. Hope you did, too. Yeah, I got my credit card bill. It's not nearly as bad as I expected. Later this hour, Ilana Levin's going to join us from the Drum Major Institute in New York, and we're going to talk about the events of 2006 from the point of view of working Americans. 6 states passed increases in the minimum wage, and Congress is poised to take up a similar bill. Talk about that, health insurance, and other issues with Ilana coming up on the half hour. Ah, but first,
this ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Ah, but first, Doug Ferrari is going to join us. And before I forget, I want to thank Billy Sunshine for the call. Peter Laufer, who is the author of Mission Rejected, is going to be joining us tomorrow in our first hour. That's 3 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Phoenix time. And now we welcome Doug Ferrari. He's a comic and a watcher of the world who joins us on the program today to help us look back at 2006 without too much nostalgia or affection. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Good, Peter B. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you, and same to you. And I'm glad that, we're both here and healthy. For some people, that's that's a challenge. And so I am just grateful for the basics in so many cases. When we look back at 2006, Doug, it was quite a mixed year. And for me, it was defined by the election and the vicious campaign that preceded it. And, boy, it was nasty with those Republicans calling every Democrat in sight a cut-and-runner and really challenging the patriotism of people who ask honest questions.
Yes, I think that they said it was the nastiest ads in the history of our elections. The one against Harold Ford Jr. was particularly bad.
Call me, Harold. Call me.
Yeah, a naked-looking white woman who's naked on a street. No, I'm not an actress. Yeah, call me, Harold.
Right.
And it worked. But my favorite ad, Peter, was not an attack ad. Republican Representative Don Sherwood had his mistress come out and say that he tried to choke her to death.
Right.
So he came out with an ad saying, yes, I did have infidelity against my wife. I did sleep with my secretary for years, but I didn't choke her.
Right.
Please vote for me November 7th.
I think the line was the accusations of abuse were never true. And it, it kind of comes out of the Marion Barry playbook, doesn't it? Oh, the bitch set me up!
Yeah. I thought that was either the worst or the funniest campaign ad of all time.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I messed around with my wife, but I didn't try to kill her.
Well, and the capper on that, Doug, was that during, you know, Ethics in Washington Week or something like that, the president went to Pennsylvania to campaign for this cad.
Oh, of course. He's always in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is the year that Bush went to Vietnam for the first time.
Right.
And first time he went to the Air National Guard to stay out of Vietnam, and this time he went to Vietnam to get the hell away from Washington.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and all those pesky guardsmen that he's sent to Iraq for repeated tours, three, four. Come on, you haven't had enough yet?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think you can be a Democrat, you can be against the president, and you can still support the troops, no matter what they say. But I especially feel bad for the poor National Guard sitting there in 150-degree heat in Baghdad going, it was only going to be 1 weekend a month, man.
Right.
I was going to be picking up trash in the park.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks in the summer, max.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, it's been tough, and with the proposed surge that Bush seems to be entertaining, those poor folks are going to be stretched even further.
And yeah, well, they don't have 30,000 troops or 40,000 troops. They can only get 7,000 new troops a year, and they can't even get that. And they're offering them $50,000-$60,000 bonuses. They're now taking drug addicts with criminal records, and they still can't get enough people.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the basic concept of joining the Army to get a college education doesn't exactly follow through if you're dead.
Doug Ferrari is with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to add to our list of memorable events or things we'd like to forget from 2006, feel free to give us a call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Now, for me, there were two heroes of this election who didn't win. One is Ned Lamont in Connecticut, and the other was Pete McCloskey here on the West Coast. In each case, they tried to redefine the parameters of their political parties. Ned Lamont felt that, as I do, that Joe Lieberman has been too much of a Republican. And he went after him, he won the primary, and then was snookered by Lieberman when he ran as an independent and took advantage of a very weak Republican opponent there in Connecticut. The McCloskey case was similar, where Pete McCloskey, a friend of mine, came out of retirement to challenge Richard Pombo and to redefine what it means to be a Republican. And I actually can agree with a lot of the definition elements that Pete McCloskey offers, and of course they're very different from Richard Pombo. Again, McCloskey didn't even win in the primary, but he softened Pombo up, and Jerry McNerney finished him off in the general election. So those were the two real bright spots and two heroes of mine from that past election cycle, Doug.
Well, Pombo had to go. He was called by Rolling Stone one of the worst 10 people in Congress, and unbelievably, 8 of the worst 10 people in Congress were reelected.
Yeah.
And it's, well, I'll tell you what there were positive things in 2006. Peter, two of my three wishes came true. First, the Democrats won the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, Rumsfeld was finally fired.
Yeah.
So what I'm wishing for this year is I wish somebody would give Bush oral sex in the Oval Office so we could impeach him. Because nothing else seems to be impeachable.
Right, and Republicans don't recognize any other sins except oral sex.
Sex, yes. They're the moral values party, except that they've got Mark Foley and a bunch of other creepy people.
Yeah.
Rumsfeld was also indicted for war crimes in Germany, and when Germany says you've been too mean in a war, you've got a big problem.
That's a very good point. Doug, hang on. We've got Dave from Eureka joining us. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter and Doug. To me, the most significant event of last year was Rove miscalculating how many votes he would have to flip in order to hang on to the Senate and the House. And that has given this nation a chance that we just might, if we can get some decent people willing to tackle it directly, we could turn it around.
I think. To your point, Dave, there are now two districts in Florida. One is the Jennings race. Christine Jennings is the Democratic challenger who, according to the tally, lost by 300 and some votes. And there are 18,000 electronic votes that are missing, many of which presumed to have favored her. And fortunately, the Democratic leadership in Washington is actually paying attention, Dave. And they are going to lay the groundwork for challenging the seating of Jennings' opponent. And I think that'll occur as early as this Thursday or Friday.
Amazing.
The other case, pardon me, we have followed Clint Curtis and Tom Feeney. I read a report from Kathy Dopp, who is an election protection expert, and they are still in the process of going through the tally in that district in Florida. But serious questions have been raised, and it does appear that there may be traction to, to overturn that result. And in each case, the best case would be that they have a special election and force the voters to go back and re-choose. And, of course, if we had actual, paper ballots, then we wouldn't be stuck guessing what the outcome was if it's as close as the last run was.
Peter, I hope you're aware that tomorrow morning is supposed to be the time that people that really have had enough of this and can want to wake their congressman up show up at their congressional office tomorrow morning when they open sometime between 8 and 9. And I'll be there with my big sign that will say, when machines count votes, votes don't count.
Great. Well, I'm glad you're doing that. And, yes, I am aware that people have called for ramping up the activism in 2007, and I fully support that. We cannot sit back and let our views and voices be taken for granted any further.
Well, thank you both. Remind people to get the butts out there, huh?
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
And, there was a joke in the Onion newspaper that actually seems to be true. I think that Karl Rove, it was his master plan to let the Democrats win Congress, because everything is so bad and so messed up that they wanted the Democrats to win so that they could take some blame for 2 years.
Well,
that was the real, otherwise they would have been able to steal it again, but I don't think they wanted to at this point.
Well, that's an interesting theory. We'll have to see how it plays out. Doug, we're going to take a break and return. Take a look at more of the events of 2006. If you'd like to join us with a comment or an event we may have overlooked, feel free to call right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues.
Godfather of soul, the hardest working man in show business. The godfather of soul. One of the early African Americans to straighten his hair and enjoy the pompadour.
In a cold sweat.
Ah, the late, great James Brown. We continue now with Doug Ferrari. We're taking a look back at 2006, and that was a real sad Christmas day for me, Doug, because I followed James Brown for many years, and I think you've played the Mountain Winery down in Saratoga, right?
Many times, yes, yeah. And I've seen James Brown.
Yeah, well, I saw him there.
And a force of nature.
Indeed, yeah. And one of the neat things I learned about him is he used to carry extra musicians on the bus with him so that he could fire people. And down there at the Mountain Winery one summer, I guess the bass player was late for rehearsal because his girlfriend didn't drop him off in time. So James fired him and replaced him with another guy and then hired him back about 2 weeks later.
Well, that's kind of a nice idea, extra musicians.
knowing musicians, you probably need them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Doug, let's pay tribute to the best and worst in media of this past year. And you and I talked before the show today, and I think we're in agreement that Keith Olbermann really deserves the... In fact, let's give him a drum roll here. Keith Olbermann deserves to be named the Media Dude of the Year.
That's right.
And he's somebody I wrote off as a washed-up sportscaster with a foxified newscast on MSNBC. But over Christmas, they were rerunning his special comments from earlier this year. And it was really impressive to see them run back-to-back.
Yes, he says things that no one else in the on television is saying except for Amy Goodman on Democracy Now, maybe. He is a voice in the wilderness. You don't get any news on the news on TV, which is why so many people are turning to radio. But Keith Olbermann is my hero, and this is where I get a lot of my material. Let me throw out a bunch of stuff real quick.
Well, just one before you go there.
Okay.
I wanted to acknowledge Keith Olbermann as a high point, and to me the low point is Nancy Grace.
Yeah, she grilled some woman saying, you know, did you murder your child? And the woman committed suicide, and now the family is suing Nancy Grace because Nancy Grace is a terror. She needs to be off the air. It's headline news and CNN's attempt to be more like Fox, and she is just a scary woman. The Onion had a great joke about her, too. Nancy Grace's mind missing for 89 days. Search continues.
Yeah, and when they find it, Glenn Beck's brain will be right next door.
What brain?
That guy.
Where did they dig him up? Oh, my God.
From right-wing talk radio. That's where they got him.
Yeah.
All right, Doug, I know you got a bunch you want to squeeze in here. Go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, you were saying that the gay marriage thing is not much of an issue anymore. Mitt Romney is trying to make it into a big major issue because he thinks he has a chance to be president, and he wants to distract from the fact that nobody's going to vote for a Mormon because, you know, some of them have seven wives, and that terrible Mormon cult leader was just arrested. And I think it's a little too late. I think what Mitt Romney should be worried about is some of the toys the kids are getting. They discontinued Ken a few years ago, and Barbie was solo, and then they just brought Ken back. This was on the news yesterday, and he's gay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He looks like the head of the Castro Street Parade, and they even now have a divorcee Barbie. She comes with all of Ken's stuff. Ba-dum-bum. And the NSA spying thing we were talking about, I called my new record, which we'll talk about later, Doug Ferrari, the best of his NSA wiretaps.
Yep.
And I put a big logo of the National Security Agency on the cover. So if I haven't been red flagged before, I sure am now.
You weren't planning to fly anywhere anytime soon, were you?
Right. But they said that it would have stopped 9/11, and then they come out, and then they find out that they were doing it before 9/11. They said it's only calls to and from Al-Qaeda, and then we find out that they have 1.6 trillion of our calls. So apparently everybody in America is calling Al-Qaeda, and that's why Al-Qaeda hasn't attacked us in 5 years, because they're on the phone all the time. I think Al-Qaeda is now comprised entirely of 14-year-old girls. We've got we're worried about Bush possibly nuking Iran, and he does have the big red nuclear button, but thank God there's a childproof lock on it. That's why nothing's happened yet.
Wow.
This is a year that it came out. Pharmacists don't want to prescribe birth control pills to women because it's against their religious beliefs. That's not terminating a pregnancy or a fetus or an embryo. It's birth control pills. I'm expecting these crazy freaks to go out and have protests. Masturbation is murder. Masturbation is murder. Every time you men masturbate, it's genocide.
Yeah. That will be next.
Yeah, the truth about these fanatical evangelical Christians is finally out. The president of the Evangelical Christian Coalition, 30 million strong, Ted Haggard, just got outed by his male prostitute. The prostitute was upset because Haggard was against gay marriage. You know you're in trouble when you're getting moral lessons from a gay hooker.
Well, and not only that, he bought some meth from him, but he didn't use it.
Yeah.
This is the new update of, well, I didn't inhale.
Yeah, and Ted Haggard's defense, he said he didn't have sex with the man because he was on so much meth he couldn't get an erection anyway.
You got time for one more, Doug.
Okay. Gosh, there's so much to be mad about, so little time. I don't know what the Food and Drug Administration's been doing. They've been holding back the morning after pill. And meanwhile, the USDA and other government agencies have let spinach and lettuce kill people. And I think the way we eat is very messed up. I have Lemon Pledge with real lemon and Country Time Lemonade with no lemon in it.
Doug Ferrari, got to go.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
A world without Saddam Hussein. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Now that Saddam's execution has settled in, time for the people of Iraq to let bygones be bygones, accept that justice was done, and move on.
Yesterday, a crowd of protesters in Samarra broke into the Shia Golden Dome Mosque, chanting and carrying a mock coffin.
Okay, so a little protest, a silent vigil to show respect. Well, okay. Surely, in more reasonable countries like Egypt, the man on the street thought the hanging was justified.
Those who hanged Saddam are dogs, says one Egyptian, and they were dancing over his corpse.
Everybody's a critic. In the meantime, even some Iraqis who hated Saddam were hoping he would at least give up a few of his secrets, such as where he stashed those billions of dollars he stole. That'd be nice to know, because if you could find, say, $8 billion, you could run the war for another whole month. He also never disclosed which Western governments colluded with him. Last year, a Dutchman went to jail for supplying the chemicals for the nerve gas he famously used against his own people. And the U.S. was implicated for its support, beginning with the war against Iran in the 1980s. But a Dutch author claims the Clinton State Department cleansed the official record to make sure there was no mention of any embarrassing back rubs we may have provided. Saddam's death did seem kind of sudden, didn't it, considering all he must have known and all the other crimes he could have been tried for. Then again, I'm sure that for a lot of people in high places, that trap door opened not a moment too soon.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
This is Dave Roy.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
You've got
got the Peter B. Collins Show. That's our first live broadcast in 2007. I'm glad you found us. Lines are open if you'd like to join this conversation, and they'll be wide open next hour in the free speed zone. Number's the same, toll free. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And we have an unconfirmed report that came in from a listener, and we have corroborated with one citation on a news website from another country. And this is a sketchy report, and I want to put it in that context. We have not confirmed this, but it's so interesting, I want to share it with you, even though we haven't confirmed it. And that is that it appears that the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States of America, one Henry Paulson, former chairman of Goldman Sachs, has been detained in Germany and has been placed under some sort of arrest, according to this report that we've gotten, for charges of money laundering. I do not know the specifics. I would assume that these arise from his work at Goldman Sachs before he joined the Bush administration. He was most recently in China negotiating with the Chinese government on a number of economic issues. And my guess is that he flew back via Germany. And when he transited an airport there, there was a warrant that was served on him. Again, this is sketchy, first accounts dribbling in. But if it turns into something big, well, you'll be able to say we heard it here first. And if it fizzles out, we'll all say, well, it was an unconfirmed report. That's how I'm going to handle it. But it does get interesting, does it not? Joining us this half hour is Alana Levin at the Drum Major Institute. Hey, Alana, how are you today?
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Happy New Year to you.
Likewise.
You folks have been busy over there at Drum Major, and I want to direct people to your website at drummajorinstitute.org. You type it all out there, and you get to the homepage, and you guys have put together your own recap of the fabulous year called 2006.
Yes, we have, Peter. It's interesting, though, to remember that the past 2 months are not 2006 as a whole. So while the past 2 months have been a time of a lot of hope for people, there was some pretty scary stuff that has happened throughout the year, and mm-hmm. it's things that will have to be addressed now in the coming year, 2007. I think the analogy that works best for me is when you're working on your computer and everything crashes, and no matter what you do, you can't get your documents to open, and it gives you that systems failure warning.
Yeah,
that's what happened with government this year, and in November. And America as a whole realized that when the computer was crashing, you should hit reboot, and that's what they did with Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting the system started up and warmed up again, and it'll, you know, only work as well as the inputs that people put into it, which is why we think it's so important to get the general, you know, people out there, all the listeners, talking about policy and what can be done to help everyone in America and raise the bar here. So,
it's interesting because the media focuses so much on wealthy people and those who aspire to be wealthy, and it creates a kind of illusion that most Americans are doing well and getting ready to buy a second Lexus. And the truth is that working people are struggling. Working people have not only had wage stagnation that creates a net loss of income, but there are a lot of hidden taxes that have gone up on average Americans in terms of huge increases in health insurance and health care costs, large increases at public education institutions, community colleges, way up to the state university systems. And on down the line, while Republicans from left to right coast, including Arnold Schwarzenegger, have said no new taxes, they have imposed a lot of additional costs on the average American family.
That's very true. I certainly think that in our 2006 Injustice Index, we go over some of the really stark and scary statistics that show you how much that rose-colored glasses view is not what people are experiencing. We are in the middle of the longest period in which their federal minimum wage has not been increased. Thankfully, states are taking that on, and you know we can talk a bit about that. But when you look at the comparison ratio of the average U.S. CEO's annual pay to a minimum wage worker, it is 821 to 1. And that's just the start. It's pretty mind-blowing how the inequity has grown in this country, and it's not an accident. I mean, people in Congress have made a choice that these are the policies they want to support. They've been doing things like cutting down on the estate tax as, you know, as meanwhile they've been refusing to raise minimum wage. And luckily, that trifecta of dirty tricks that was the minimum wage bill that you and I were speaking about last time, where Congress was trying to sneak in the Paris Hilton tax breaks for the wealthiest Americans, that didn't go through. But at the same time, it meant that the minimum wage wasn't increased. However, we really think that this year that those kinds of things will change. And certainly at the state level, six states over this past election cycle had referendums that successfully raised their minimum wages.
Well, and California is one of them, and yes. we have to give at least a certain amount of credit to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who did such an about-face. You know, in November of 2005, he got skunked. He had these ballot measures that were supposed to reform state government, and they were all rejected by California voters. So he reinvented himself, and in a rare move for a politician, he actually admitted that he had made mistakes. And just about a year ago, in his State of the State message, January of 2006, he said he was ready to raise the minimum wage. And that really signaled his move to the center. And it worked for him. He trounced his Democratic opponent in November. What remains to be seen is what version of Governor Arnold we're going to get next.
Definitely. California has been really moving forward on minimum wage. I hear that you guys are going to have it up to 8 hours by 2008. I mean, one thing that we're looking to for ways to improve minimum wage laws is indexing it to inflation so that you don't have to go through the referendum process or having really conflicted, you know, voting happening when you need it to go up based on what the cost of living actually is.
Mm-hmm.
But Schwarzenegger's success at kind of reinventing himself definitely is consistent with a lot of what we've seen with progressives who've won their election campaigns, you know, for the first time, and that's people who are speaking to the needs of the middle class and struggling workers are people that are succeeding in the political landscape right now. When you look at the ascension of guys like Jim Webb and Sherrod Brown, you can see that people in America are realizing that their economic needs are not being served by the current administration and that there are things you can do to improve it, that you don't have to be despondent, and that there are policies that can be implemented to help support the middle class, and that, you know, it's about time to consider what to do on those fronts.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm from New York right now, had an interesting inauguration yesterday, but that Schwarzenegger's move to the center is, you know, wise. It was very wise of him. I feel like it may have changed the landscape in California a lot, too. So we can only keep moving forward on those fronts, I think.
It'll be very interesting to see. We're talking with Alana Levin from the Drum Major Institute. They're on the web at drummajorinstitute.org. And just a quick aside, Alana. Over the weekend, I rented the DVD of a movie called All the King's Men. Sean Penn does a masterful job depicting a Louisiana populist in the vein of Huey Long. And, of course, it's Robert Penn Warren's famous book, and the character is Willie Stark. And while he is a corrupt and, kind of creepy guy himself, he championed the cause of the working man, certainly for his self-interest to get elected, but he built roads and schools and the university system and hundreds of bridges in Louisiana. And the net effect left me a little nostalgic for a demagogue who actually wants to fight for the right of the American working family.
That's really interesting. I've actually been interested in Huey Long and Earl Long myself for some time, and I think that what we're seeing now in America is that there's a dual interest among progressives and populists to not just deliver on things which build American infrastructure and which support the working people, but to understand that having government accountability and good governance is actually part of doing populist policy. Because in the end of the day, making sure that regular people have access to their lawmakers, rather than it just being based on who's the member of the right constituency for them to serve, that's really key to keeping democracy healthy and to getting good policy done.
Yeah. And to some extent, and I want to be very clear here, I'm not suggesting that John Edwards has any of the characteristics of Willie Stark or Kingfish, but he does recognize the power of those themes. He announced for president in New Orleans after spending a day working in his jeans in a work shirt, trying to help a family rebuild their home. And while I have practical questions about just how far John Edwards can get, based on his weak performance in 2004, the themes that he sounds are very powerful and more accurate than ever.
I think that he's been speaking a very powerful message that Americans identify with, and he's been out there talking about poverty. I sometimes think it'd be great if he could, rather than just approaching it as fighting poverty, fighting to expand the middle class to include more people, which means helping more poor people become middle class, because I think Americans recognize that it's not just the super poor that are really in a bind, it's the bulk of people in general, and most people, you know, identify as middle class, and they do need help. But I feel like he's been very strong in delivering an economic populist message. What's interesting, actually, about Hurricane Katrina is it's such a great example of how things that have been done by the insurance industries, for example, are very much undermining the needs of America in reconstructing the city and in helping people to get back on their feet. The American Enterprise Institute has a fellow, Ted Frank, who's been, he has a blog that's all about why you should never go to trial and why, you know, it's called Tort Reform is what it's been labeled in the media. And, you know, the fact that we talk about changing the tort system in order to make it harder for people to sue if they've been hurt, that's, you know, the product of conservative public policy think tanks. And right now in Louisiana, where you see people whose homes are destroyed fighting tooth and nail to be able to get money from the insurance companies so they can move on with their lives, you see what actually happens when so-called tort reform is enacted.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are struggling against, you know, these are for policies which they themselves bought. It's a service which they've bought. And the fact that they're not being able to, you know, go to court and have their grievances addressed, the fact that everybody is seeming to get, like, lost in a haze where nobody knows where to go, it really shows a place where government could be stepping in and helping people in their immediate lives and really building up the country again.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting as you're describing that, I'm thinking of the history of antitrust activity in this country. And we broke up Standard Oil and some of the other monopolists in the early part of the 20th century and then basically permitted them to, you know, have their way and continue on a kind of a greedy capitalist path. And, you know, there were people like Huey Long and others who tried to interrupt that process, FDR to some extent. And, you know, we've seen over the last 20 years this rush to deregulation and that bigger is better and that business is you know, the proper driver of both policy invention in this country. And I'm just thinking that over the holiday break, the Federal Communications Commission approved the essentially the reaggregation of the Bell system that was broken up by Judge Green in the mid-1980s. What was interesting is that because one of the members of the FCC, a Republican, had to recuse himself, the two Democratic commissioners, Copps and Adelstein, succeeded in forcing AT&T to agree to net neutrality. And that was one of the trade-offs for approving this, again, reaggregation of what they broke up in the 1980s. And I'm not excited about monopolist telephone companies, but I was pleased to see that benefit for the average person. And hopefully that could set a standard for net neutrality that could be carried forward.
Certainly. You know, the fight for net neutrality this year went on our list of the best public policy of 2006. While we are still waiting for Congress to pass something protecting a neutral Internet so that it's written, you know, actively into the law rather than right now where it's, you know, left a little bit open,
mm-hmm.
The fact that the telecommunications lobby wasn't able to undermine the public's right to have equal footing on the internet, just like big companies do, to be, you know, for the Drum Major Institute's website to be just as easy to load as Fox News' website.
Right.
That's a major win.
Yes,
and
it is.
It's interesting because it shows a good example of when businesses and progressive cause and progressive activists can really come together on something. It's true that, you know, America's been in a very much business at all costs approach that has ended up really making life bad for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be that way. There are so many ways where business interest and public interest go hand in hand.
We got to stop for a break. We're talking with Alana Levin from the Drum Major Institute. Visit their website, drummajorinstitute.org. Your calls are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
Here's the latest traffic for the Monterey Bay area. First, we have some animals on the roadway. Hollister at Union Road. Several goats were walking in the lanes. Please drive with caution. Construction in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1. That's the Inline Avenue off-ramp. Closed for long-term road work until this December. Santa Cruz, Soquel Avenue between Seabright Avenue and Parkway. There will be paving work from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. today through Friday or possibly Saturday. The work will involve lane closures and detours and will interrupt bus routes along Soquel Avenue. Salinas Davis Road between Westwood Parkway and Boronda Road, only one lane open in east direction due to construction of a shopping center. No estimated time for completion. Slowdowns now, southbound Highway 1 slows between Monterey and Carmel. Traffic brought to you by Office Depot. Rush into Office Depot for great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and more. Hurry in and get organized today, Office Depot.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 8 minutes away from the hour. And, of course, next hour we throw open the phone lines and take your calls on any subject from any viewpoint. We call it the Free Speech Zone. We continue with Alana Levin from the Drum Major Institute. They've got a great website at drummajorinstitute.org. And their work is on behalf of working Americans and policy issues that affect us and that could improve our lives. Alana, one of the things that I'm very interested in is whether we can make any progress on reducing the cost of health insurance and health care for average Americans. And for the longest time, I have favored a single-payer approach. And I realized that that was kind of poison during the efforts by Hillary Clinton to reform our health care system back in the early 1990s, at least from the nasty attack ads that the insurance and other industries ran. And there are a couple of different proposals that have surfaced. It's a little early to talk about them in detail because we can't really be sure where they'll go in their respective chambers on Capitol Hill. But do you get the sense that Democrats feel urgency about the need to rein in the escalation in health care costs and drastically reform our system?
I do feel that people in Congress view it as urgent and hear that it is urgent. In terms of what policies they'll be supporting, that's harder to say right now. But one thing that is very exciting is there seems to be a sort of a baseline agreement right now amongst the new House leadership that the cost of prescription drugs is ridiculous and that they need to change that part of Medicare Part D, which has prevented the government from negotiating to have cheaper drug prices. And every other country in the developed world negotiates with drug companies to get better prices. As bulk purchasers, they're able to do that because so many people, you know, get their benefits through the government. And that would reduce the cost of medications for people throughout America because there would be pressure on private insurers to end up, you know, charging those prices as well, because those insurers would be asking the drug companies to give them the good deals too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is one of the first issues that's been on new Speaker Pelosi's list of the first 100 hours in Congress of what they're going to tackle. And I really do feel like the public is informed enough on this issue to demand it if Congress wasn't going to do anything, and that Congress seems to be being extremely serious about it, and to the point where you are already hearing, you know, some of the apologists for the drug companies, you know, spinning their stories on the news. But I'm not hearing a lot of people buying it anymore. I think people are realizing that you can reduce the cost of prescription drugs, and those companies aren't going to go out of business.
Well, and when people see that you can go to Canada and get the very same drug for a third or even a half of the list price here in the United States, it's very clear that there is margin in those products, and the drug companies are reaping larger profits from the United States than they accept in other countries.
That is very true. That is very true. I think that one of the other areas that's going to be interesting this year in terms of health and health coverage is, you know, because the federal government hasn't acted yet in terms of helping people more broadly get access to health care, a number of states have put out their own plans to help broaden the number of people who can get state-run and therefore lower-cost health coverage, or to help them pay for commercial health insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that we've been hearing the most about, of course, is the Massachusetts plan. And in our State of the States section of the Year in Review report, we point out that there's a really big problem in the Massachusetts health plans the media really didn't bring up, and that's the individual mandate part of it, which requires someone who does not get insurance from their employer because either they're freelance or because their boss has forced them to become permanent freelance or freelance, and if that person makes more than than being a very low income amount, that person would have to pay for his or her own insurance, which is extremely expensive. And even though people are saying, well, there'll be these group plans they can buy into, it still doesn't seem like a good idea to tell Joe Blow that he has to pay for his own health insurance when his employer is not paying it. They say that they're incentivizing companies to cover their employees by giving them a fine for every employee who they don't cover, but it's a very nominal fine compared to how much money they'd be spending to cover each employee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a employer that's working in bad faith or just has really difficult margins, you're going to look at it and say, either I get to have to pay a small fine for not covering my employees, and I push the burden onto my employee to pay for his own insurance, you know, or I have to pay for each person's insurance, and that's a lot more money. That's not a good idea at all.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely going to increase the squeeze on the middle class, particularly.
It's hard to understand how mandating it can actually work, because if you can't afford to do it, you know, a fine or other penalties really aren't going to change your behavior. The other flashpoint really is that the current proposals to reform our medical delivery system kind of fall into two categories, one that will cut out the insurance companies and the other types that will keep them in. Is that your view, that that's going to be one of the pivotal issues that will have to be worked out?
I think that's a good observation, although I would point out that there are ways to do health care that does include insurance companies that are better than Massachusetts. We cite, for example, Vermont's plan, which is called Catamount Health, and it doesn't push the expense off onto you know, self-employed people or folks whose bosses don't cover them.
Well, we'll take a closer look at that. Alana, I want to thank you for joining us today. Best wishes to everybody at the Drum Major Institute.
Thank you so much, Peter, and to your listeners, too.
All right. Take care. Coming up next, we open up the phone lines for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Free Speech Zone is next.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For one of the last times, Hail to the Chief was played in tribute to former President Ford as his body arrived this afternoon at the Gerald Ford Museum in Grand Rapids, Michigan. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant is there watching mourners file past the flag-draped casket.
The doors will be open through the night until mid-morning tomorrow. And then a final funeral service for family and friends. Former President Jimmy Carter will speak, as will Donald Rumsfeld, who served President Ford both as Chief of Staff and Secretary of Defense.
Both men were among 3,000 mourners who gathered this morning for a service at Washington National Cathedral.
When he was elevated to the presidency, it was because America needed him, not because he needed the office.
President Bush recalled that when Ford succeeded Richard Nixon, the nation was racked by the Watergate scandal, the war in Vietnam, and runaway inflation.
Amid all the turmoil, Gerald Ford was a rock of stability. And when he put his hand on his family Bible to take the presidential oath of office, he brought grace to a moment of great doubt.
Former President Bush eulogized Gerald Ford as a Norman Rockwell painting come to life. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports on a disturbing study of local emergency preparedness coming out tomorrow.
5 years after 9/11, a survey by the Department of Homeland Security finds that many cities still are lacking when it comes to disaster planning, and they still have poor communication systems. There are a number of cities that either have not trained effectively with their state and local partners, haven't trained effectively between the city and the suburbs, or just have not applied the communications tools in the most efficient way. This is an attempt by the Department of Homeland Security to tell 75 separate cities how well they're doing and how they stack up.
Only half a dozen localities get high marks. Washington, D.C., San Diego, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Columbus, Ohio, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Laramie County, Wyoming. The lowest scores go to Chicago, Cleveland, Baton Rouge, Mandan, North Dakota, and American Samoa in the Pacific. A former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has had a change of heart about gays in the military. Army General John Shalikashvili, who retired in 1997, wrote in the New York Times op-ed page today that he's convinced the military has changed and gays and lesbians can be accepted by their peers.
they already are, says retired Major Mike Lyon, the CBS News military consultant.
If it changed tomorrow, I don't think there's major change necessarily, because the fact that since the policy's been in place, gays and lesbians have served honorably in the military for many years and will continue to serve.
Shelly Khashoggi says he supports a change to the Pentagon's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. That's the policy that was adopted when he was in command. This is CBS News.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
And now for the bonus round. What is the molecular number of tapioca pudding?
32.
Correct. If today is yesterday's tomorrow, what is Sunday?
Slightly overcast.
Correct. About how many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
1 billion.
Correct! Netflix! Nearly 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and get DVDs delivered right to your door in about one business day. A plan that's right for you from only $5.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
The new Congress convenes tomorrow, and a new Muslim member of the House from Minnesota will make history when he's sworn in. WCCO Radio's Adam Carter has the story.
The build-up to Keith Ellison's swearing in has been anything but quiet, with controversy surrounding his decision to place his hand on the Quran during the swearing-in ceremony. But Ellison says the controversy hasn't been a bother.
I haven't been distracted. In fact, you know, it's actually given us an opportunity to reaffirm some of the most basic principles of the country, which is religious tolerance.
Ellison is also the first African-American elected to Congress from the state of Minnesota. Adam Carter, CBS News, Minneapolis.
It was a very rude awakening for a man in Oak Park, Michigan, who fell asleep in a dumpster. What woke him up was being loaded into a garbage truck. He yelled for help, but no one heard him, so he got on his cell phone and called 911. Police rushed to several trucks that were making their rounds, and when an officer pounded on the side of one of them, he got a response. The man barely escaped being compacted. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Time to get organized. Office Depot has great deals on a wide assortment of file folders, binders, filing cabinets, and shredders. Plus, over 800 calendars and planners. So hurry in and get organized today. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
This week, buy one, get one free on select plastic storage. Offer available in-store only on items of equal or lesser value.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep, I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Delighted to be back with you live here in the new year. And this is my favorite part of the show. I never know what's going to happen, who's going to call, what they have to say. It's the Free Speech Zone, and my lines are all open and available for you this very minute. You can call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And there's a lot to catch up on. I don't know about you if you have some kind of pent-up desire to express yourself, but I sure do, and I'm glad to be back behind the microphone. As my family gets tired of me yelling at the TV set. And what I'd like to ask you about right now is if you are comfortable with the execution of Saddam Hussein. I'd like to know your reaction to that event, which occurred Friday night, California time, Saturday morning, Baghdad time. And I have been honest with you about this before, and I am happy to be honest with you again. I am morally opposed to state-sponsored killing or executions. I think capital punishment is barbaric, and that it's interesting. Saddam, of course, didn't observe his own laws in Iraq. He did whatever he wanted, and he did have people killed. But prior to the occupation by Paul Bremer and the United States, there was no death penalty in Iraq. And in raising these issues, I feel compelled to say that I have no sympathy for Saddam Hussein, don't have any desire to excuse what he did. But I think it's worth noting that the trial that produced the conviction, that produced the death sentence, was a show trial. Saddam didn't have the same rights of any accused to present witnesses, evidence, and testimony that might have limited or mitigated his guilt. And as many other commentators have pointed out, there was a real rush to execute Saddam. And some people speculate that one of the reasons was that the longer he was around, the greater the prospect was that he could dump on Bush, Reagan, Rumsfeld, et al. And oh, he had stuff to say about the way the United States sent him key messages in the early 1980s that we would side with him in his war against Iran. That we would look the other way when he used chemical weapons, particularly on the Iranians. And those messages were delivered by none other than Don Rumsfeld, who went to Baghdad in 1983. He was not serving in the Reagan administration. He was a special envoy, dispatched to send a very special, sensitive message from President Reagan to Saddam Hussein. And so I take no satisfaction in the execution of Saddam and the process that led to it. And long term, I think that for some people, the United States was responsible for creating a martyr out of Saddam by facilitating his conviction and execution. And on the other hand, I believe that we have set a tone for more killing, more carnage in Iraq and elsewhere. And in my view, it does not serve the short-term or long-term interests of the United States to dispatch him in this manner. So those are my thoughts. I'd like to hear yours. Got one line left open. You can call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And let me scroll up here and see who's on line one. It's Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed.
Greetings.
How you doing today?
Good. Yourself?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for your package. It arrived.
Oh, great. better late than never, as I always say, right?
Well, I'm happy to receive it, and thank you for being so thoughtful.
I have three topics I'd like to talk about today. A couple of them are looking forward and one of them is looking back.
Go ahead.
The backwards looking one is what I figured was the best and worst story of last year, or one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same story. It was the Amish in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, what happened was horrific. But those people, I mean, God bless them. They walk the walk and talk the talk, and or talk the talk and walk the walk, whatever.
Well, they are real. And
yes.
they are authentic, and, you know, I have a great deal of respect for them.
And looking forward, I think, you know, they talk about minimum wage. I'd like to hear them talking about putting a COLA in there so we don't have this charade of going through and making it a big deal every, well, now 10 years, but it shouldn't be that interval.
Well, now, wait a minute, Ed. Don't you realize how irresponsible that would be?
Well,
I mean,
I was thinking,
it's
you know,
okay.
If you tied it to the congressional pay, that you raise the minimum wage every time you raise the congressional pay.
Ed, you simply don't understand.
I know that's practically impossible, because then that would rub their congressional raises, would bring them up from underneath the rug where they try to sweep them.
Ed, it's okay to lock in tax cuts for years to come without knowing what revenues will be available and whether that is a rational course of action. But to lock in increased costs and to give the poorest working people in this country a meager raise on an automatic basis, that's immoral.
I know. But, you know, I like to be immoral. You know, I like to look at pornography every once in a while. And the third thing is that Tom Hartman brought it up, and they had a minor discussion about it, was the Reverend Sun Yun Moon and the Washington Times. And in the broader sense of the media, how they're, you know, they're, I guess they've closed it down or are closing down the some of the liberal or progressive radio programs in a couple of different markets. They tried it in Madison, and God bless them, they prevailed. And
you are right.
Have them on for a while longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're losing it in Columbus.
Columbus, Cincinnati, and Boston.
Well, one of the things, and maybe you can, since you've been in the radio business, is the when they go to renew their licenses, is
nothing left.
How often do they have to do that?
Every 5 years, you mail in a postcard and they send you your license. And if you've operated technically in compliance, where you haven't interfered with other stations, it's pretty much automatic. And that, unfortunately, was the result of the 1996 Telecommunications Act signed by President Clinton.
Well, maybe we can revisit that.
I would be in favor of that. And as you know, I'm a part owner of a station and a licensee, and I believe that we should be regulated. I don't think that it should be a free-for-all where radio stations can be operated like CB radio stations or gas stations. You know,
Exactly. They belong to the people and not to the we grant them the privilege of broadcasting. It's just like a driver's license. You have to go get it renewed. You have to jump through a few hoops to get your driver's license removed. They shouldn't have it so perfunctory as just to send in a postcard to get their others removed.
I agree, Ed. Thank you very much, sir. Good to talk to you.
Have a good New Year's, and
right.
We'll talk to you on several occasions, I hope.
Okay, good, Ed. Thank you. Now to Ben and Salinas. Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy New Year to you, sir, and let's hope we get the country we deserve and that we're both fighting for.
Indeed.
I wanted to draw the focus on the savagery that we as a so-called Christian nation showed toward Saddam Hussein. Here's my point of view. Rumsfeld, there's countries that want to bring him up on human rights violations charges a la Milosevic up in The Hague.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the primary witness against him who was in American custody to the last minute was Saddam Hussein, and he would be the primary witness that could be called up, like you say, to spill the beans or to say what he know. But like Noriega, why do we keep these people locked up? Because of what they know? And here's what I believe. Remember this trip Rumsfeld made the day after he was canned? He had this secret, super important last trip to the Green Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I have often speculated that some just missing between 9 and 31 billions of dollars taxpayer cash is somewhere in a secret vault in the middle of that Green Zone. Rumsfeld is one of the people with the magic key. I think he went there, handed out a few bricks of that money, and Saddam was handed over and killed in minutes. Now, that's just my suspicion. I have no proof, but that's the way I feel. And Peter, to draw one more thing to your attention, if you would allow, we saw the way Melissa Alexandrovna's cousin was treated by the ICE people with the way they're picking up people. Now, I've heard through my own means that there were like 1,800 people picked up in those SWIFT raids for those so-called illegal immigrants. I've heard a large portion of those people are being disappeared. They're not showing up in countries of origin. Now, see if some of your bloggers can help us on this, because just because those aren't American citizens, we need to know what we are doing to the peoples of the earth, because guess what? They is us.
Thank you, Ben. I agree with you.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll look into that. I would like to know what happened to all those workers who were bussed out of SWIFT packing plants, and also what we learned from our contributor, Scott Dick, that SWIFT recruits for employees in Mexico. I'd like to know more about that. And I'd like to hear more of your calls. I've got two lines open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. Dial me up, 1-888-573-8372, and we'll talk here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Here's your latest traffic for the Monterey Bay Area. Right now, traffic is slow. Southbound 101 is leaving Silicon Valley, heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote Creek Golf Drive. It also continues heavy into Gilroy, Prunedale, and Salinas. Northbound 101, heavy in and out of Salinas. Northbound 101 also slows at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff. We still have reports in Hollister at Union Road. Animals on the roadway, several goats are walking in the lane, so drive with caution and watch out for those guys. Some construction work in Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 1, the Inland Avenue off-ramp, closed for a long-term road work, continued until this December. Santa Cruz, Soquel Avenue between Seabright Avenue and Parkway, there will be paving work from 7 a.m. until 6 p.m. today through Friday, or possibly Saturday. The work will involve lane closures and detours and will interrupt bus routes along Soquel Avenue. This traffic report is brought to you by Ocher Oats Company. Help your heart by taking the Quaker Smart Challenge.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got a couple of lines open if you'd like to call and chat with us right now. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. And over the past few days, we're not sure exactly when, but somebody hacked into PeterBCollins.com. They have been evicted. and the site is back up and working. So it's now okay to drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. If you've got ideas for guests and topics you'd like to be to see covered here on the PBC show, just drop a note to matt@peterbcollins.com. And catching up on a couple of details from earlier in the program, tomorrow in our first hour, author Peter Laufer will be our guest. His book is called Mission Rejected, about soldiers who have refused to continue serving in the military because of the war in Iraq. And he is going to be appearing, I believe, at the Capitola Book Cafe on Thursday evening for our listeners on the Central Coast. Also, I wanted to mention that Doug Ferrari has a new CD available that's at his website, DougFerrari.com. That's F-E-R-R-A-R-I, DougFerrari.com. And a website that Jason Leopold mentioned for refuseniks. Actually, I want to reword that. It's a website for active military members who want to protest our government's actions and policies in Iraq. And it is called AppealForRedress.org. There's no S on appeal. AppealForRedress.org. And that is the latest that I've got for you. We take more of your calls now in the Free Speech Zone at 888-5 Peter B. And we have Todd in Marina. Hello, Todd. Thanks for your call.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You know, I hate it when you say that.
Oh, you're going to say that. You know, there's so many things that bother me about the Saddam trial. I mean, trust me, I'm not defending the man. I think he did some atrocious things. But
isn't it tragic that you and I have to make those kind of statements? We have to tell people, oh, I'm not a Saddam sympathizer. And it's really an indication of how skewed our debate and rhetoric have become that, you know, anybody who wants to criticize the process has to make sure that we're not misinterpreted as some kind of apologist for a cruel and gruesome dictator.
Well, and what really just got my goat, just about immediately following the execution, MSNBC, Lester Holt did a kind of a look back from September 11th to present, and there were so many blatant lies. I mean, they even had, they used Colin Powell before the UN.
Oh, wow.
If it was accurate. And what really upset me was, you know, the media, which has a lot of power and doesn't use it responsibly, you know, trying to rally the country behind this execution, were more than willing to put all that misinformation out just to justify what took place. And it's awful.
Well, and as I'm listening to you, I did not see that particular retrospective loaded with file footage that they use. It raised a couple of comments. First of all, that in recent years, the American video media, the networks, have not felt compelled to tell you when they're running file footage and when it was actually shot. And so you see a sequence of what we call B-roll, just, you know, filler video of people shooting each other and, you know, blown up cars and tanks in the streets, all kinds of scenes like that. But you have no idea when that footage was actually shot and if it has any remote relevance to the story that you're being told.
Right, and, you know, unfortunately, and this says a lot for you guys on the radio, it is one of the few places in America that you can get accurate reporting anymore. You know, I heard on the radio, none of the network, that the BBC and a lot of the European stations were running stories about how quickly Saddam was killed and how come they didn't investigate America's part in it, other countries' part in it. And you heard nothing about that on the American media.
Well, and I mentioned this once earlier today, and it is unusual for me. I don't go out of my way to criticize other progressive talk show hosts. But I was floored listening to Ed Schultz earlier today as he took a call from a listener who was making the points that you did. And Ed said, well, did I miss something here? And he basically just said that he's fine with the process that occurred and that, you know, Saddam was going to be dispatched sooner or later, so who cares about the details?
You know, I actually turned Ed off today.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since he went to his new time slot, I don't know if it's just maybe I'm being more critical listening to his perspective and things.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he has changed his programming since he's went to the new time slot, and I don't know if he's trying to increase his listenership, which, you know, you guys are in a business. You know, more listeners, the better. You got to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Tom Hartman.
Well, if you start hearing me talk like that, please call my pharmacist and tell him to cut off the OxyContin.
Well, and what I like about you guys, you know, I'm not blind. I don't agree with everything that you say.
Good.
What I do like is I always get both sides. Even if I say, what's up with Peter today? You know, it's okay because that's how you learn. You hear different perspectives, you hear different ideas, and I compile it all in my brain, and I, you know, form an opinion.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I mean, I was traveling over the holiday, and I'm in the Monterey area, and, you know, they call it left-wing radio, but I don't consider it left. I consider it accurate reporting. But once you get out of this area, I had to listen to conservative talk radio for like 4 hours.
Oh, really?
And it was I was driving home right during the execution.
Yeah.
And
for your own protection, get a satellite radio or a CD player. Have somebody sing to you in the car. Okay. I gotta run to a break, Todd. Thanks for a great call today. More calls coming up next. Phoenix, I haven't heard from you today. Give us a call. Cave Creek, Tempe, 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good day, sunshine.
Tonight,
here comes the sun. In the sunshine of
stop searching. We've got what you're looking for. Sundays, 3 to 5, the Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
It's tax time again, and there's one Progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay Area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. 33 minutes past the hour as we continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah, the First Amendment has not been repealed, and it's free speech because I pay for the call. It's actually true. I write the check to the toll-free phone line company to pay for your calls every month. So, take advantage of it. It's free. Free, free, free. Call me now, 888-5-PETER-B. Two lines available at 888-573-8372. And yeah, you got to punch a 1 before that. 1-888-573-8372. Well, one of the positive developments over the holiday break was that more Democrats and a few Republicans have come out and either questioned or categorically opposed a surge in forces in Iraq. That is the recipe du jour that Bush and the gang have been working on in Crawford. And, of course, it flies in the face of reality, flies in the face of the Baker-Hamilton Commission report. It just does not make sense. Even the Iraqis say, I don't think it's a good idea to send more troops here. It sends a bad signal and it won't really make a difference. John Edwards, when he announced in New Orleans that he is a candidate for president in 2008, went out of his way to flatly say that he deeply opposes any increase in American forces, any expansion of the war in Iraq. And there was a fascinating article about the neighborhood-by-neighborhood challenges that American and Iraqi forces face on the ground there today. And it underscored for me that putting more troops into Iraq in almost any numbers, short of 500,000, will only aggravate the problem. So Senator Edwards, points for you. Joe Biden, points for you. He made a very strong statement opposing a surge. And even Arlen Specter, in a rather passive way, said that at this time, he cannot support an increase in American troop deployments in Iraq. So I see that as a positive development. We must keep the pressure on. I encourage you, as Dave Goggin from Eureka told us earlier today, if you are able and so inclined, go to your congressperson's home office, the district office, tomorrow and make your views evident. We need to turn up the heat. We need to get, you know, as forceful as we can in a nonviolent and respectful way and make sure that the message of the November elections is not lost. Up next, we go to Leonard in Glendale. Welcome, Leonard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you very much, sir. I'm sure glad to hear your voice. Basically, I'm right here next to Phoenix in Glendale. It's beautiful weather. I can't even believe I'm standing out here in shorts. I do have a small jacket on.
Oh, nice.
I feel guilty because, you know, I believe sometime this time last year, you know, I was in Iraq. And I feel guilty because I know there's a lot of people suffering right now. You know, it's just such a beautiful life to have here in America.
Yeah.
And even though I don't believe our soldiers, my fellow soldiers in Iraq, this time for the right cause, Afghanistan's another matter. They are doing their duties, and I really admire them and respect them for that. But
Leonard, let me just jump in here with a question, because this comes up quite a bit. I'm a sharp critic of the war. I have deep disagreements with the Bush administration, and I feel that that is the best way that I can, quote-unquote, support our troops. And I do care about our troops. I think I care about them more than the president and many of his cronies do. But it's often we who criticize the policy are often castigated as not supporting the troops. And I want to ask you a pointed question. If we can persuade Democrats in Congress to roll back or cut off the next requested round of funding, now at $99 billion, for the war in Iraq, would that be construed as something that doesn't support the troops, something that is anti the interests of the troops, or will it be seen for what it is, the only lever that Congress has to rein in a wayward president who's on the wrong path and wants to continue?
I believe it is. I liken it to the analogy of a small child who needs to face his or her fears. They have a dark room. The parents want to convince the child that the monsters aren't going to get the child, that when the lights go out, you know, you have to conquer your fears. The Democratic leaders, some of them, are like those small children who see the fear of the unknown. They can't see it. They think if they do that, the monster of being called, non-supporters of the troops is going to come out. They don't understand that. I'm hoping they will in the next several days. I'm really excited. But that if they stand up for what is right and not worry so much about building their political careers 4 years from now, 2 years, whatever, to a higher political office and do what is right, that's going to get them more support than they ever had. That's always been the case. And I'm getting, I have some people that are mad at me down here because I'm saying all Democratic leaders, whether they're a council person or a governor or whatever they are, even if they can't stop the president from sending soldiers, they can stand up and use their influence, their moral standing in the community to say this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, because if they will show they're supporting the troops, they can set up the bill so that he has to get the heck out of there, but without cutting back on their funding,
Yeah.
So, but the Republicans, yes, you're right, Peter, they will go ahead and they will do that if we let them, if we just stand there and take it. I want to bring back the old Democratic principle of fighting like a junkyard dog. I want to see that. I don't want to see somebody saying, well, we'll probably go along with this surge, give it one more try. So, but, the reason I was calling you, too, is, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you that I'm sad that Saddam Hussein got what was coming to him because, being in Iraq and everything and, having some of my friends die or maimed and all the rest of it, commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I know that probably in the cases of the two fatalities that occurred in two different IED attacks, it was done by Shia militia. So really, the people who were standing in the room who were doing the shouting and shouting Mokhtar's name, and as you know, I've called before and told you the next Khomeini, the next leader of Iraq, is going to be Sadr unless he's killed.
I think you're right.
His supporters in that room very likely were connected to the people who murdered my fellow soldiers. And so what they've done is, by killing him, is they've told the Iraqi people that, no, this thing that Bush was saying, we're all going to get along, or Iraqis and Sunnis have this national parliament. No, look what they were doing. They're saying we're in charge now, and so that it's a lie to say that they're going to restore. The government is so corrupt. I could see it when I was there. It's so corrupt that the only way that you could solve the problem is to start from ground zero and send in 500,000 troops, and we're not going to be able to do that.
No, we flatly can't. And one of my concerns, Leonard, is that this very public, deliberative process, if you want to call it that, as the president, acknowledges that he doesn't have a clue about what to do, but he's going to think about it real hard and come up with a new way forward, I think that it just further exposes our vulnerabilities and his dithering, his indecision, and his refusal to confront reality as it's been presented to him in many different forms. Just shows the rest of the world that, frankly, they can wait us out.
Right.
They can watch him twist and really eviscerate himself politically here in the United States as he maintains a policy that will not work, and the people who know that best are those who are our enemies.
Right. So the people, we have a chance here, and I believe our Democratic leadership are going to show that. Mr. Conyers, I remember in Iraq reading about him and his strong support, all of these things. The American people are going to say, look, okay, Democrats, mm-hmm. we're giving you the chance. And if they don't go in there and if they drag their feet, I know they won't do this, but if they do, we're going to end up being classified right along with the Republicans. But I know that won't happen. I have
to. All right. Leonard, thank you for the call today. And
Happy New Year.
Put a shirt or a jacket on, will you? Mike in Westminster, or are you in Santa Cruz?
I'm in Westminster.
Westminster.
South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. That's what the SC stood for.
There you go.
Welcome, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hey, not a whole lot to it. I wanted to talk to you about the Saddam issue, but I also wanted to mention that Nancy Pelosi has also said that one of her first priorities is going to be to bring an end to this illegal war and occupation of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I are in complete agreement about the execution of Saddam Hussein. And I wanted to say this. You know, no doubt he should have been tried for what he did. But the place they should have been done would have been in an international court in The Hague or somewhere like it did Milosevic or something else, not in the middle of a civil war in Iraq where you know three of his lawyers were killed, witnesses were killed, two judges quit,
mm-hmm.
All this you know in the.
Well, and he got what? He got a 30-day appeal, and they just tossed it out. Now, to me, there were significant issues that if you're talking about an American-style court system, would have been raised and would have invalidated the conviction or at least overturned the sentence. And that, of course, was not thinkable because the verdict was in before the court actually convened. And all it really had to do was go through the motions and, you know, hear some testimony, play it out, and convict him. And I'm sorry, you know, that's not justice, and that does not advance the interests of the United States, either short-term or long-term.
No, it certainly doesn't, but that's what the rest of the world gets to now see as American-style justice, and it's really sad, and I think what we've actually done is we've created a martyr out of this guy, because he didn't go kicking and screaming like the right thought he would. You know, he went with his head up with the dignity of a head of state, cursing America, and I think that's going to go a long way towards actually giving support to some of the people who would like to do us harm.
Yeah,
and I think it's a huge mistake. This was a no-win situation to try and put this guy to death over there in this kangaroo court. It should have been handled differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't agree with you more in that respect.
Okay, Mike, I appreciate the call. Thanks for hanging on to talk to me. All right, now to Nora in Tempe. Hello, Nora. You're on
Peter
B. Collins show.
I listen to your show quite a bit. And you said have someone from Arizona calls.
So yeah, there you are. Thank you.
I'm a lifelong pacifist. I've been against the death penalty all my life. It's just so horrible what happened, and it's just so gross. I mean, it just feels sad, and I don't know what our society's coming to. It's sort of like some kind of surrealistic, weird thing where Halloween has come back. We've got, you know, the corpse of our former President Ford floating around the country. We've got them hanging Saddam Hussein in Iraq, where, you know, and then when I heard today that video of him described on the radio, I didn't watch it and I didn't watch TV, but when I heard about it, just them describing it, it's just so gross. Like, how could people get excited about things like this? I just don't understand human nature sometimes.
Well, there are a couple of things. One is I was over at the YouTube website last night, and I saw eight different clips. Some were described as really clean, clear video, and others were apparently from a digital camera phone. But I declined to watch it. I know what occurred, and I really don't need to have that image seared into my mind. And I just, you know, believe that if people want to see a snuff film like that, they can do that. I don't censor or propose to censor their access to it. But I think that what we're seeing, and we touched on this with an earlier caller, is the transition from journalism-based video reporting to stuff that is really more comparable to soap operas or feature films, where the point of view of the editor, whoever that happens to be, whether it's at Fox News or NBC or, you know, some homebrew person who does it at YouTube, the editor's point of view is conveyed through the misuse, in my view, of various types of footage that are designed to propel the viewer along the track that the narrative lays out. And so, as we heard, the elliptical history of Saddam Hussein that was presented on television and in newspapers after he was hanged, a lot of it does not acknowledge the role that the United States played in building him up, propping him up, supporting him during his eight-year bloody, ugly war with Iran, and condoning the use of chemical and biological weapons, in some cases providing the raw materials for him to acquire and utilize them, again, against Iran at the time. And so it's really U.S. complicity that has been excised out of the record, such as it is, that is embraced by the average American. And so really the media plays a major role in setting up the public to accept mistruths, half-truths, and pure concoctions in terms of the long-term relationship between the U.S. and Saddam.
Yeah, it's like they want to whip us up into a nationalistic fervor, you know. You were saying about the media. This weekend, during the holidays, I saw that movie, The Good Shepherd.
Oh, I went to see that and the projector broke.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I got to go back.
Oh, it's the Skull and Bones and the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
I'm going to catch it, and then we'll talk about it later, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Nora.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you.
Bye.
Lines are open if you'd like to join us in our final segment on the Free Speech Zone today, 888-5-PETER-B. If you disagree with me about Saddam, don't be shy. Bring it on. I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
Here's the latest traffic for the Monterey Bay Area. Watch out for a road hazard on the Pacheco Pass, Highway 152 at Dinosaur Point. There's a large piece of tire tread in the left lane. San Benito County, southbound 101 at Cole Road. There's two separate accidents. The left lane is blocked. The CHP is on the scene. Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1, the N-Line Avenue off-ramp closed for long-term road work until December. Santa Cruz, Soquel Avenue between Seabright Avenue and Parkway. There will be paving work from 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. today through Friday, or possibly on Saturday. The work will involve lane closures and detours and will interrupt bus routes along Soquel Avenue. This traffic report is brought to you by BottlesandCans.com. Recycling refunds have gone up. Now small beverage containers are worth 5 cents and the bigger ones are worth 10. Visit BottlesandCans.com. Recycle. It's in your hands. I'm Michael Kidd for KRXA 540.
Allen Show. Just one more time today. Dipping into that classic double LP that's out as a CD now, too. James Brown, live at the Apollo. Very fitting that they laid him in state there at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. Still room for another call or two if you'd like to join the mix here at the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B. And I'd still like to hear from somebody who supports the execution of Saddam, who thinks that it was either reasonable on a moral basis or reasonable on a practical basis. And if you hold that view, why don't you share it with us, 888-5-PETER-B. Stephen Salinas, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I hope I can be coherent here.
All right, try.
When I heard about the hanging, it didn't affect me too much. And then the following morning, I looked at the newspaper, and there was this picture, and Bush saying it's a milestone for Iraq, like another turning point, I guess. And I just felt sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I asked myself, what good did that do anybody? How did that help anybody? And I can't come up with anything that was helped by that.
Well, if you hold a worldview based on the Old Testament and you believe in a vindictive approach to justice, then it's consistent with that view. I don't hold it, but I recognize it.
Well, I just don't think it did anybody any good. And when I think about numbers, when Bush decided to go into Iraq, they made a conscious decision to not count deaths, Iraqi deaths.
Sure.
And I've heard estimates as high as 600,000 Iraqis have died since our invasion.
Right.
And if such is the case, then Bush is responsible for more Iraqi deaths than Saddam was.
Well.
And it took Saddam 30 years, and Bush has done it in less than 4.
Right. And, but he was an evildoer, and yeah. Bush is a good guy.
Yeah. And I'm sorry. I just felt sick.
Well, I certainly understand, and you've done a good job expressing it.
And
Steve,
the Mercury News had something Saturday, I guess, about a pictorial history and then a timeline of what he all bad things he'd done. And there was no one there. There was no picture of Rumsfeld shaking his hand.
Oh, sure.
There was no mention of us giving him arms. There was no mention of April Glaspie inviting him to invade Kuwait.
I'm glad you remember.
And mm-hmm. It was just totally
Or of Joe Wilson, facing down Saddam when he was going to use Americans and other nationals as human shields. We don't talk about the courage of Joe Wilson, who actually took the place of April Glaspie when she shipped out of Baghdad. Thanks a lot for your call today. I really appreciate it. By the way, I wanted to issue just one more quick apology to listeners and to our affiliate radio stations. While we were on break during the holidays, due to the snowstorm in Denver and some other technical problems, we had a lot of glitches on the program. Now that we're back live, you shouldn't be hearing them, but we do prefer professional radio, and that's always our quest and what we strive for. So do excuse me, will you?
Excuse me.
Chris is next from Charlestown, Rhode Island. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Well, that was weird. First of all, I just want to thank you for your show. I really, truly enjoy it. I'm so glad to have found it.
Well, I'm glad you take the trouble to listen online.
Ah, that's worth it. This morning I was listening to an ostensibly progressive radio station, and they did nothing but talk about how Gerald Ford wasn't really vanilla, how he was kind of a stabilizing force, and that was the extent of the argument. There was no mention of the fact that he participated in two of the largest cover-ups in the country's history. I'm just reading stuff that we're exchanging emails, and there's something about He signed legislation that forced people to live. He took them off their land and put them in a place that was irradiated and basically condemned them to death. You know, none of this is the second largest radioactive spill in the nation's history in 1979. None of this stuff gets mentioned. I mean, according to all the media that I've been able to see, including media that I had started to rely on, and I'm not going to anymore, he was just a sweet old guy who just mm-hmm. reached the end of his days, and we're going to miss him, and oh, what a sweet fellow. That's nonsense. And I can't find anywhere. I teach journalism at a high school, and I looked up three different articles for the kids to look at because I wanted to see different points of view for news articles.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them even mentioned the Warren Commission report.
And nobody mentions that it was Gerald Ford, the minority leader in the House of Representatives, who carried the bill of impeachment for Earl Warren as the Chief Justice, carrying the water of the real extreme right in our country, the John Birch Society and other anti-communist groups at that time. Somehow didn't make it into the obits. Chris, I'll tell you what, I have chosen not to do any heavy commentary on President Ford here on the day that he's being buried.
Yeah, that's fair.
Stay tuned. In a couple of days, we will try to work with the revisionist historians and get at the real truth. And I have a few stories of my own to tell.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for checking in today.
Yep.
Now to Chris in Monterey. Got 30 seconds, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I support the execution of Saddam, and one very simple reason why is no vendetta reaction to what he did is he's going to be in prison forever. So that's going to cost money. It's going to cost the Iraqis money. Why not just get rid of him and then be done with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, you're entitled to your opinion. I've given mine, and we're going to leave it there because Trigger's here. I got to saddle up and ride off into the sunset. Thanks for your call.
Take care.
We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations. I hope you'll join me then. I'm Peter B.
Happy trails.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A bagpiper played Amazing Grace as Gerald Ford came home today.
This is Steve Futterman in Grand Rapids. Ceremonial cannon fire greeted Mr. Ford as his body arrived here this afternoon. The final salute is taking place fittingly in his boyhood hometown. From the airport, a motorcade brought him to the Gerald Ford Museum. At the museum, Mr. Ford will lie in repose. The doors to the museum will remain open throughout the night. Then tomorrow, just outside the museum, Mr. Ford will be laid to rest.
Earlier, a who's who of Washington gathered at the immense National Cathedral for tributes to the 38th president. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
Decency, honesty, integrity. Qualities highlighted in the eulogies here at the National Cathedral. Former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger praised Ford for doing his duty in an understated way, not playing, as he put it, to the gallery. President Bush said his predecessor represented the best of America. A rock of stability, Mr. Bush called him, amid the turmoil of the time that Ford was called upon to serve.
Throughout the day's events, 88-year-old Betty Ford struggled to keep her emotions in check. She was surrounded and comforted by her four children. Washington, D.C. gets high marks. So do San Diego, Minneapolis, St. Paul. But Chicago and Cleveland get failing grades in a federal report on emergency preparedness more than 5 years after 9/11. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr has had a look.
The report, which will be released officially on Wednesday,
points to Chicago, for example, as a city that's troubled because the city of Chicago and then Cook County, two large jurisdictions, do not cooperate particularly well in terms of planning and drilling. Dallas is also an area that the report says still needs to make some improvements so that it's cohesive. Philadelphia is another area where the report points out that local officials didn't include the state and the federal officials in drills.
The Department of Homeland Security did the study. The massive job of clearing snow from the season's second blizzard goes on in the plains, and there's concern that cattle trapped by 10-foot drifts might not survive. Don Ahmed is Colorado's agriculture director.
It's been about 4 days now, and we're real concerned that if we don't get hay out to these animals, this won't be a recovery effort.